Thank you for coming today. You know, 2024, man, I thought we'd be like the Jetsons by now, you know, just we're not too far off, I guess, with AI and everything that's happening now. Isn't it crazy? The stuff that's happening, the technology, and wow. Wow, how quickly things have changed. I mean, if you think just the last 100 years, I haven't been around that long, but if you know, just do a little history, how things have changed in just 100 years. And isn't that what Daniel, the book of Daniel said, that knowledge would increase and men would move to and fro throughout the earth? Well, we have the travel and the internet. It's all happening. It's all escalating. Things are happening so frequently and that, well, things are still being mopped up that are now old news. You're not even hearing it anymore. That are happening all over the world, and I know it's a good time for people who are really wanting to know what's going on in the world. Well, how many know the Bible tells us what's going to happen? Jesus told us what was going to happen, so we shouldn't be surprised by these things. But we do need to be aware, and we do need to be watchful. We do need to be prayerful. And I do believe that there is an escape for the people of God from the wrath of God, not from difficulties, but from the wrath of God. And so Jesus said, watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape all these things that are what coming upon the earth and to stand before the Son of Man. So it's very important that we are a house of prayer, that we as God's people are that house of prayer. And as a house of prayer, a corporate house of prayer as well, we need to be gathering in the name of the Lord. How many know it was the Lord's idea for us to get together? Amen. Some people think it's not that important, but God says it is. The Lord said he wants his people gathering. So who are we going to obey? Our opinion or the voice of the Lord? Amen. So the Lord wants us as much as possible gathering together, especially in a day and hour that we're living in now. How much more should we be gathering and praying and seeking the Lord and encouraging and lifting up one another also in personal prayer? Amen. And because there is coming a day, amen, when anything that's not stable is going to be shaken. And anything that's not tied down, if you will. And that means our souls need to be anchored in the Lord in such a way that no matter what happens, we're going to be able to endure. We're going to be able to endure to the end. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Meaning difficult, dangerous, or fierce times would come. Are we not living in that time? I believe we are. It's interesting that even several hundred years ago, they thought they were living in the last days. Amen. Well, if they were living in the last days now, I think we're living in the last of the last days now. Amen. But anyways, Jesus had pre-warned us about these things. And I want to just do a review with some of you. But let's look at Matthew 24 of what Jesus said about these days and verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will all these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming? What will be the supernatural sign, you know, of the end of the age? And Jesus begins to list out certain events. In verse 4, Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. First thing he says is be careful that you're not deceived by people. All right. For many will come in my name saying I am Christ and will deceive many. Verse 6, you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. Have we not seen world wars? And kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines and pestilences. Have we not witnessed this? And earthquakes now, right? Boy, in various places. I don't know how many of you saw what happened to Japan recently. And again, these things are happening all over, but they're happening with such frequency that the news media is not keeping up with it all. While they're still mopping up the problem over here, there's another one taking place over there. And so we need to understand the time that we're living in here. It's important that we stay awake and we stay prayerful and mindful. In Matthew 24 and verse 8, he says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then, he says in verse 9, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And of course, he's speaking to the Jewish nation. And we now see that the nations are poised and setting their counsels against that little sliver of land over there called Israel. And not only there, but anywhere that there are believers, amen, and Jesus, the Messiah, and the Jews and Gentiles alike in Messiah, they are being targeted for extermination. And so we even see the United Nations getting involved in all this too. But you know what? It's not wise, as we were listening to Wayne speak this morning in Sunday school about opposing Israel. It's not wise to do so. Because God, regardless of their flaws, and they're not a perfect nation, and they have sin like everybody else, but because of God's promise to Israel, because of his promise to Abraham, and that he would bless those who bless her and curse those who curse her. And therefore, I would be very careful not to be cursing or opposing God's people. Amen? Because they are his ancient people. These are the people that God had chosen out of all the nations, even though they were small, one of the smallest, for himself to be represented to the world, to the nations around them. So that was their purpose. Amen. And of course, humanity is fallen in our natural state. We're not able to live holy. We're not able to live holy for very long before we fall back into the trap, amen, of the enemy. And so they had failed as a nation to adequately represent the Lord. And so each time they would, you know, fail to do so, God, because he's just, he would have to punish Israel. Until such time, of course, now we are living in a new dispensation of grace, the time when the Lord is now granting mercy and grace, forgiveness of sins to those who don't deserve it, like you and I, amen, like anybody else. Everybody has to come to Jesus the same way, amen, that is through repentance. And understand that there is none good. The Lord said, not even one, right? We may think we're good, but in God's sight, we're all sinful, amen. And so the Lord is the only one that can make you holy and presentable to God the Father. It's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we can now come with confidence before the throne of grace. Amen. And with confidence now we can come and ask the Father for all the mercy, all the grace that we need. You know, he's made everything available to us that we need. Amen. Every day, amen, his mercies are new. We can come to him for our daily bread. Hallelujah. He's given us his word. He's given us his spirit. So that we can overcome in this world by his grace, you see. Not relying upon ourselves, but upon his grace. Hallelujah. For it is by grace that you are saved through faith. Your confidence in God alone. Amen. So we see this on a grand scale right now. The devil is sowing lies and discord, division, right? Between peoples, nations, races, men and women, families, even among Christians. I know there are some that have taken upon themselves to be the heretic hunters, and they're online and they're just exposing everything that's wrong about the church. And yeah, there are flaws, and God wants his people to repent, and judgment will begin at the house of God. If you don't discipline yourself, God will discipline you. But some people think it's their job just to hang out all the laundry for the world to see, all the stuff that's going on that's wrong. Come on, somebody. How many know that it's only by the mercy of God that we're saved? And we have to remember it is because that God had shown us mercy that we are who we are today. It's by his grace we are who we are today. Hallelujah. Lest we should boast or compare ourselves or compete. God wants his people to be united together in him. If people will just turn to the Lord, amen, God will change the heart. And when the heart is changed, the life changes. You see, a lot of times we're just trying to change behaviors. You know, new habits. But God changes the heart. And when the heart changes, then the life changes. But you've got to be willing to allow God access to your heart. You are the gatekeeper of your heart. And if you refuse to allow him to come in, then you'll continue in your dysfunction. Because only Jesus can bring order to your disorder. And all of us, without him, are disorderly. Would you agree? And we have disorderly conduct. But notice it says in verse 10 here, many will be offended. It's happening right now, offenses. Oh, my goodness. Especially this, well, this generation. So spilled milk, you know, just so offended over little things. You know, everybody gets a trophy now. Nobody can lose. Nobody can fail. I mean, you know that sometimes failure is the way to success. You're going to fail in life. Amen. Learn from it. Don't deny it. Change your behavior. Repent. Correct the future. Amen. But the word offend means to trap, scandalize, or trip up. And many are being tripped right now. They're being caused to stumble through offense. The people are holding grudges. They're holding unforgiveness. They're allowing people to get under their skin. And you know, a lot of the reason why we get offended, first of all, is because we're not doing what the Bible tells us to do. And that is stay armored up, to put on the full armor of God. If you clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, the darts of the enemy can't get through to you. And if you're offended, immediately you need to take that to the Lord and you need to let people go, amen, just as God in his mercy let you go. Forgive and you also receive his mercy, amen. But the devil wants to trap you and I with an offense because he wants to choke the love out of us. Yeah, if he can get us to take offense with one another, he can bind us up in his trap and destroy us. In 1 John 2:10, it says, he who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. We're to walk in love, walk in God's love. Amen. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, love your enemies. Do good to those, right? And pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what the Lord expects of us. And we do that by his grace, by the ability he supplies us. If we will call upon him. How many know that God can give you love for an enemy? Amen. How many know that God first loved us while we were enemies? Amen. And went to the cross for us. For God so loved the world. He loved you that much. But it says in verse 11, he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. So spiritual darkness comes upon those who hold on to hatred and unforgiveness, amen, and offense. Because what does offense do? Well, offense turns into betrayal. And we are witnessing that. I've witnessed that personally. Where people got offended with me and then they betrayed me. And then ended up even hating me. And there's this interesting cycle of sometimes when, correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes there's no good deed left unpunished. Ever been there? You've tried to be the helper, the savior, the hero. Amen. You come to help somebody out. And all of a sudden, now you're their enemy. Ever have that happen? Yeah. So you got the hero, you got the victim, right? And then sometimes we end up becoming the victim, too. And we're trying to be the hero to come to somebody's rescue. Well, you know what? The Lord himself, amen, has received a lot of opposition from people, amen, who he loves so dearly. That, as a matter of fact, the more that he loved people, it seems the more that they hated him. Even Paul the Apostle says, the more that I love, the less I'm loved. You know, why? Because when you walk in love, you walk in truth. And truth is offensive to the natural man. He doesn't want to hear the truth. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me I'm sinful. Don't tell me I'm wrong, you know, and that's where we're at. But yet, if somebody does not speak the truth, people are going to continue in error. Amen. They're going to continue in darkness. It takes the light of truth, amen, to expel darkness, to shine a light on a situation that God wants to help a person through. But if you're not willing to speak the truth, then that person can't be set free. Amen. Because God will never convict you of something, once again, that he will not also supply the grace for you to overcome. So if he's convicting you about sin or something in your life, you're uncomfortable about what you're hearing, know that it's God's grace working in you. That God is saying, listen, I want you to give that to me. I want you to repent of that because I want to liberate you from the power of that. You're not supposed to be under the power of sin. If you're a child of God, amen, you've been set free from the power of sin. You've been liberated from it. Amen. So don't allow it. Don't allow yourself to go there. Amen. Because you don't have to. The devil cannot make a Christian sin. Did you know that? Amen. Now, he catches us off guard sometimes, but he can't make us do it. We have to be mindful of that, right? So, anyways, we're witnessing all these things happening. Verse 11, it says, then there's going to be many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And he says, you're going to recognize a false prophet by what? By their fruit, right? By their life, by the way they live their life. Not just false predictions, by the way. Amen? Because sometimes even the false prophets get it right. Amen? So we have to recognize the fruit of one's life. You know, false prophets live sinful lives. Okay? And they do not practice, if you will, what they preach. In verse 12, he said, and because lawlessness, are we not living in lawless times now? Will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Do you see a correlation between sin and lovelessness? Yeah. But then he said in verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. The only way we're going to endure is by the grace of God. We're not strong enough to endure. I know some people think they're pretty strong. Peter thought he was pretty strong. Amen. And he told Jesus, I'll never deny you, Lord. They may all forsake you, but not I. He had eye trouble, didn't he? And Peter had to come to a place where he knew, like the rest of them, that without God's grace, without his help, we can fall very easily. We cannot stand against our adversary except by the grace of God. Amen. So I believe all true believers will endure to the end because their faith is in the Lord and not in their own ability to save themselves because they follow Jesus. I do believe in true believers. Are you a true believer today? And because we rely upon the grace of God, we will also endure. We will be able to go through anything, amen, that life hands us because God is with us in that. Did he not promise to be with us through the rivers, amen, that they wouldn't overflow us? And even through the fire, he said, you shall not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Is he not with us? Do we not have God on our side? If God be for us, who can be against us? Yes. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen. In John 10:27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. What do? They follow him. You can't claim to be a follower of Jesus if you're not following him. Amen. So what on earth is going on? I preached this a couple years ago to just kind of an update as to, well, let's take another look at things, you know, in light of the word of God, of prophecy. And I can tell you one thing. We're between the time of the crucifixion of Jesus, his resurrection, amen, the dispensation of grace we're living in, the church age, as we call it. But there's also coming a time, amen, when the Lord is going to return for his bride, for his people. It's called the rapture. And we're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And I do believe that the Lord has not appointed us to suffer his wrath. Amen. He did say in the world you will have tribulation, but then be good cheer because I've overcome the world. And if you have the overcomer in you, then greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Amen, somebody. So what are we seeing right now? Well, we're witnessing an attempt by Lucifer, Satan, right? To deceive many, the multitudes. Amen. He's trying to prevent, really, the Lord from taking the reins of world government. That's what's going on. The world is saying we will not be ruled by anyone but ourselves. The world is saying, amen, we are our own God. I'm God, people say. And whether they believe that or not, by practice they say that, amen, because some people disregard God's rule over them and they live their own life their own way. They don't acknowledge the Lord. They don't involve him in anything. So basically they are their own God. But God is going to determine, amen, who will be saved. The day is coming when the Lord shall return from heaven. Amen. I believe that that time is close. We see these signs, everything happening and happening quickly, and we need to be ready to meet the Lord. As a matter of fact, the title of the message today is Prepare to Meet Your God. Prepare to meet your God. They're just saying, basically, we'll decide what is right and wrong. Man wants to be in control of his destiny. And you know what? The Lord gave you charge over your life. You can do what you want with your life. You have a free will. But how many know the fool has said in his heart, there's no God? And I heard another explanation of that where somebody said, you know, no God. The fool has said in his heart, no God, saying no to God. So I believe that's equally true, amen? The person that denies that God even exists, but also the person that denies God's right and sovereignty over him or her, right? To rule over him. So Satan is trying to take the throne, amen, of this world and rule over the nations. And he wants to sit in the place of God. And for a season, it will seem as though he's accomplished that goal. He's called the Antichrist, amen? And yet the Lord shall destroy him with the brightness of his coming. Amen. Yeah, he's coming to deal with him. Hallelujah. So the reason why people worship the devil or worship Lucifer is because he tells them they can do whatever they want. You can be your own God. You don't need to submit to God. Remember in Babel in Genesis 11:4, they said, come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. In other words, man in his pride says we will not have God rule over us. God had told them after the flood to spread out, amen, to multiply and replenish the earth. Man said, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to build a great city and we're going to exalt ourselves to the place of God. We don't want God to rule over us. And so God came down, as you remember, and he confounded that. Amen. He confused the languages and caused them to spread out anyways. But prior to the Lord's return, a vast federation of rulers and nations will unite. We're seeing it in an attempt to prevent Jesus from taking the reins of world government. Are we not witnessing that today? And in Psalms 2, it says, why do the nations rage, verse 1, and the people imagine a empty or vain thing? How could the world rulers even think they could succeed in a rebellion against Almighty God? It is such a vain attempt. And yet that's what's happening. Man has decided that he wants to live independent of God. And how many have realized that the times when we've lived independent of God are the most dysfunctional times in our lives? Mm-hmm. And so that's what we have, why we have dysfunction all over the globe. Amen. Because people decide they don't want to be under God's authority. And verse 2, it says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. Well, if we can just pull together, we can have a conspiracy against the Lord and against his anointed. But how arrogant for anyone to think that he or she could ever succeed in resisting the authority of God. But many world leaders, under the influence of Lucifer, are doing this. They're attempting to stop God's plan. And what are they trying to do? They're trying to stop God's plan for Jesus to establish his rule over all the earth. Because he's coming to rule. Amen? Hallelujah. The Bible says that he shall plant his feet on the Mount of Olives. Amen. And it will split from east to west and he's going to establish his reign over all the earth. Hallelujah. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, and he will sit as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming to reign. Regardless of what man plots to do, God's purposes are going to prevail in the earth. Hallelujah. See, you got to get with the winner, amen, and walk with the winner, because Jesus is Lord over all, amen? And he's coming. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says, so now you know what is restraining. In other words, there's a hindrance right now to what Satan or Lucifer is trying to do, to establish his reign over the earth. He says, now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. Who are we speaking about here? Right? The Antichrist, right? For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. Now, I believe God has placed you and I here as a restraining force. He has placed the Holy Spirit in the people of God, amen, as a restraining force, as opposition, amen, to what Lucifer is attempting to do. And it will be for a season that we will be resisting the evil, the flood of evil, until that which is resisting is taken away. And I believe that means the church is going to be removed. That's my theology. That's what I believe the word says. And then all hell will break loose. For right now, the reason why we're not seeing all hell break loose is because of the restraining force that is presently in place. And that is God's people who are standing in the gap between heaven and earth and interceding and calling in the kingdom reign of God on the earth. Amen. Until such time as that is removed. Amen. And then the Antichrist will be allowed to ascend to that position where he will sit in the temple of God as though he were God, but yet we have the promise that the Lord Jesus shall consume him. Amen? With the breath of his mouth. Amen? At his coming, the brightness of his coming. So anyways, we're the restraining force. And that's why we are hated in the earth. That's why Christians are being persecuted all over the globe. Amen. God's people, because we're hindering what Satan wants to do. Verse 8 says, the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the enemies of God say, we will not have him rule over us. That's what they're saying. And in verse 3, it says, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. You know, the bonds can also mean like covenants. Marriage, any kind of agreements, righteous agreements, amen. And they want to break off all restraint and dissolve any sense of decency, amen. Because the devil knows that if he can divide the house, he can conquer it, amen. And that's what he's seeking to do right now, is to sow discord, to sow division, even in the body of Christ. And we have to be on guard against that. We have to be very careful that we don't lend ourselves, amen, to creating or sowing discord, if you will, among one another. Hallelujah. The Lord told us to love one another, amen. It doesn't mean that we tolerate sin. It means that we love one another and we cover when we can, amen. But we also are responsible, amen, in love to go to a brother or sister that is in error, amen, not to go on Facebook, not to go on YouTube and expose them to the world, but go to that brother, go to that sister, amen. First of all, Matthew 18, amen, and try to reconcile with that brother, that sister, amen, and to bring them back to a right standing with God. If that doesn't work, take two or three others with you, amen. And finally, if it comes to that place where that person will not repent, take them before the church, if you will. All right, you got to deal with it, right? You got to deal with the leaven, because a little leaven, a little yeast in the lump, right, will cause the whole thing to expand. All right. So what's going to happen here? Well, Jesus, amen, is going to deal with the devil. All right? And all those who follow him. He's giving us opportunity today to be saved. In verse 4, it says, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. And the Lord shall hold them in derision. In other words, the Lord is saying, how foolish of you to think that you can defy me. He's Almighty God. In other words, the Lord is scoffing at them. And then he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. And yet I have set, he said, here's the promise of Jesus coming. Verse 6, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Where's that? Jerusalem. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. He shall be Lord over all the earth. But yet to the rebellious rulers, he says in verse 9, you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them to pieces like a potter's vessel. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Hallelujah. So God, in his great mercy, amen, warns people, even these kings, they have an opportunity to repent. Could you say amen? And God is not willing, amen, that any should perish. Second Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Because, you know, we are living in a time where people say, yeah, we've been hearing that for how long now? Jesus is coming. Yeah, okay. But yes, the scoffers will come, but he's going to come. Amen. And I'll tell you when he's going to come. You want to know when he's going to come? When the Father says so. All right. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Not willing that what? Any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. Psalms 2 is really speaking about the age we're living in, guys. We're living in the time of this great world conspiracy against Christ and the church. And I do believe there are conspiracy theories. But there are also real conspiracies. And so the devil uses the term conspiracy theory often to shame people into not speaking out against the obvious things that he is doing. Come on. He's using that as a tool to silence his opposition. He's trying to make you look foolish for suggesting that there could actually be a conspiracy. They're all theories. There's no such thing, is what he's trying to tell you. Come on. But God's going to have his way in the earth. Hallelujah. How many know the devil's a bully? And he's trying to bully even the church into silence. Many people today are angry at God, again, in the church, because they want to be their own God and do whatever they please. Uh-huh. Many people do not attend a church that speaks the truth. And this shouldn't surprise us, because Paul had warned us in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 3. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. In other words, they're going to still go to church. And some of them, they'll pack out. But they're not going to hear the truth. They're going to hear what they want to hear. And I want to go to a church that where I feel comfortable. Now, how many know sometimes you got to feel uncomfortable before you can be comfortable in the Lord? Yep. Amen. Prophetically speaking, I believe we're in this time now. And that's why we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're getting to this. See, a lot of people are trying to do this on their own, in their own strength. You know, whisper a prayer in the morning or whatever. Now I lay me down to sleep. The Bible says to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That means we have to be in communion. We have to be connected to the Lord. We have to be empowered by the Lord. Amen. Because without him, we can do nothing. Without him, we cannot overcome the flood of evil that is coming against us in this age. It is intensifying, and that means that the people of God need to draw near to their God. Amen. Call upon him for strength. Amen. He will be there if you call upon him. Amen. And God will give you the grace that you need to overcome every situation that you face if you will trust him. But you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. You must be filled with the power of God, because it's only by the Spirit of God that we can overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. It's not of us. It's not in our own willpower or my own ability to be strong, because a lot of people who think they're strong are actually weaklings spiritually. Why? Because they're trusting in their own power, their own soul power, to somehow be a good Christian. And you can't. Nobody is strong enough to deal with the devil that we contend with, except one, Jesus Christ, and Christ in you. Hallelujah. Jesus is the baptizer with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Without the Holy Spirit, no one will be able to overcome the impending, all right, flood of evil. And so we're commanded. Everybody say it's a command. And Ephesians 5:18, what does it say? Do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, it will lead to destruction. Amen. If you're a drinker, right? I was a drinker and it was destroying my life. Now I drink of the Lord. Amen. I delight myself in the Lord. I found a superior high, a superior joy. Amen. In the Lord. If you want to get high, go to the Most High. Don't mess around with the cheap, inferior stuff of this world. Amen. God serves up only the best. Isn't that what they said? Lord, you save the best for last. And we have access to the throne of grace. Praise God. So everything we need is available to us, but we are commanded to be filled. And it really means to be continually filled. To continually be filled with the Spirit. Now, let me just say this. Any person who would suggest that they don't need to be that committed to God in this day and age is deceived. There are people who claim to be Christians, but they're just not that strong of a Christian. I'm just not that committed as a Christian. I claim my salvation. I'm saved, at least they think they are. But I'm not committed actually to God. I'm just, I said the prayer and I'm going to heaven, they think. And yet they're not committed. Think about this. What kind of marriage would it be if you said to your spouse, you know what, you're all right, but I don't need to really be committed to you. Yeah. What kind of marriage would that be? It wouldn't be a marriage, right? You'd just be roommates. But God wants a relationship with us. And he knows that without him, we can do nothing. And without him, we cannot overcome this world. And without him, we are a target for the enemy. And the enemy will destroy you unless you stay buried in the Lord, if you will. And thus you stay close to the Lord, amen, and put on the full armor of God, amen, because without him, you're not going to be able to overcome the flood of dissipation that's coming. God has given us everything we need that pertains to life and godliness. And we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And the reason why much of the church in America needs to wake up, amen, because we have been weak and anemic, amen, because of a lack of the power of God. God wants his people to be endued with power from on high so that we can be bold witnesses for him, so that we can be strong in him, amen, to overcome the adversary, the hater of our soul. Jesus has given us access to all that we have need of. He's opened up his banqueting table. He's saying, come on in, amen, and everything you have need of is freely given to you, available to you. As a matter of fact, I will set a table before you in the presence of your enemies. They can only watch, and you can come into my presence and receive everything you need, hallelujah, and be filled through the overflow, amen, so that the splash over will influence people around you. Hallelujah. How many of you know we need some splash over saints, right? We need some Christians that are flowing over for Jesus, amen. We need to keep the tank topped off, not only topped off, but overflowing. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So in James 4:8, here's my responsibility. It's our responsibility. Draw near to God. That means it takes an initiative. I believe it's the 15th. We're going to kick off another season of prayer. 5 at 5 is going to be another 5 at 5. 5 o'clock, Monday through Friday, we're going to be gathering for prayer. We're going to be storming heaven for this year, and for we need breakthrough, we need healing, we need people delivered, we need America transformed, amen. So we're going to get back, amen, to prayer as a congregation. I'm calling everybody to come out and to join us as much as you can, 5 at 5. I believe the 15th is that Monday night. It's a week from tomorrow. We're going to kick it off, okay? And how many believe that if there was ever a time we need to be praying, it's now? So now, the same Lord, who many are rejecting and disowning, is soon going to be Lord of all. Jesus will be the object of universal worship, not Satan. God is going to set up Christ as head over all things. Where? In heaven and on earth. In verse 6 again, he said, "Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion." How many know that what God sets in motion, no devil in hell can stop? God is going to do exactly what he said he's going to do, and no devil is going to stop him from doing it. No man will be able to stop him. And the evil which has brought mankind together in this great rebellion will never succeed in stopping the church of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The councils of hell will not prevail against what he's doing." Hallelujah. Man will be powerless to oppose what the Lord does. Hallelujah. Because of the righteous king. Oh, praise God. I'm about sick and tired of politicians. Amen. Earthly politicians. I'm looking forward to the time when Jesus establishes his reign. Hallelujah. Then there will be peace on earth. Amen. Goodwill towards men. Then there will be righteousness. Hallelujah. In the earth. Then there will be justice in the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. But for now, we are the restraining force. We're called to pray and to stand in the gap. Amen. And be salt and be light. To be influencers. Amen. To represent God's kingdom business here in the earth. Amen. And you and I have been called to do that. And he didn't send us out without the help we need. Amen. He sent the helper. He sent the comforter. He sent the Holy Spirit to empower his church. To enable us to be that bold witness for him. To be that influence. Amen. How many know that we are designed for the night? We are actually called to light. Light up the night. Amen. So God's got you right where you're at because you are just supposed to be a light in that situation. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5, I know sometimes I'm like, "Lord, just get me into a better job. Get me into a better situation." I remember praying that. "I don't want to be around all these people that don't believe in you and stuff." Well, God says, "That's perfect for you to be there. That's why you're there." Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 5:20, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead." Here it is. Come back to God. Today, God wants you to come back. As a matter of fact, God wants you to take up the baton. It's your time to shine. It's your time to shine. Say yes to Jesus, and you'll never regret it. Give your heart to Jesus. You must be saved. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you will never see the kingdom. God wants you to be saved. Amen. And then God wants you to be filled with his spirit. And then God wants you to obey his voice. Amen. Because God wants to use you. He wants to use us as ambassadors to plead with those around us. Listen, Jesus went to the cross for you. He paid for every sin, every transgression in full. God placed upon Jesus the iniquity of us all. Amen. So there is hope in Jesus Christ. There is forgiveness in Jesus Christ. There's new life in Jesus Christ. And only in Christ is there hope for the future. Amen. But you must be reconciled. You must be brought back into right standing is what that means with God. And it's only through Jesus. If you're here today and you're not in right standing, where are you going to go? Where are you going to spend eternity? If you're not born again, if you're not committed to God, you're not going to heaven. And that's why Jesus came, to save you from hell. Because without him, we're children of hell automatically. Because of sin and transgression, because of Adam's transgression, because all have sinned and fallen short. All have sinned and fallen short. Amen. The only way we can be reconciled is to come to Jesus and to surrender our lives to him. Did you hear that word? Surrender your life to him. Commit your life to him. He's committed to you already. Will you say yes? For God made Christ, verse 21, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord, for that. In 1 Peter 4:7, I'm finished with this, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. If you have a relationship with Jesus, it means that you have a prayer life. Hallelujah. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? We are not to be intimidated by our adversary. Amen. We're not to be intimidated by the devil and those who follow him, because the Lord is with us and the Lord is mighty to save. Amen. We serve the Most High God. We serve the God of all power, who holds all authority in heaven and on earth. Amen. Go therefore, he says, and preach the gospel. Amen. Declare his kingdom, hallelujah, in the earth. God will confirm his word with accompanying signs. God wants to manifest, amen, himself in the earth realm, and he wants to do it through you. He wants you to preach the gospel. He wants you to heal the sick. Amen. He wants you to raise the dead, praise God. He wants you to cast out demons in Jesus' name. Amen. He wants every one of us involved and engaged in the work of the Lord. And he's given us his Holy Spirit to empower us, amen, to do just that. And without him, we can do nothing. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Would you bow your heads this morning? Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Father, if there's those here today that are not right with you today, Lord, that you, Holy Spirit, will convict and make them aware, Lord, that they need to be reconciled with you, Father. I pray, Holy Spirit, move upon this place. Lord, just hover over this place right now, Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray your glory come down right now, Lord, and capture every heart, every mind in this place right now. And we bind you, Satan. We bind all the powers of darkness in Jesus' name. We command you to go in Jesus' name. We command you to get out in Jesus' name. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Just have your way right now, God. God's been speaking to some of you this morning. God is saying, I want you to be saved, but you have to come to me. You have to humble yourself and admit that you're not. If you will do that, if you'll humble yourself, then you will find mercy from your God. Because soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Everyone has an appointment with God. Not one will escape that day. For it is appointed for men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Are you going to be able to stand in the judgment, my friend? You need to come to Jesus. He is your advocate. He is your defense attorney. He's the one that stood in the gap for you. And he is the one that prays for you right now. If you will give your life to Jesus, he will save you and he will make you his own. If you've been backslidden, if you've been away from the Lord, it's time to be reconciled. It's time to draw near to God and he will draw near to you. If you're here today and you're not really sure if you're saved, but you hear the message today and it's cause for concern for your soul and you want to reconcile, you want to make it right with your Maker, you want to have peace with your Maker, I want you to slip up your hand. Just let me see that hand. You want to do it today. You want to get right with Jesus. Just slip your hand up. Amen. Praise God. I see you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, work with you. And that's the word that God gave me. Come up here, brother. Come on up. Just come up. Yeah, come on. It's all right. Amen. You stand up for Jesus, he stands up for you. Amen. You confess him, he confess you. The Father. Give me a hug. Hallelujah. This is Ethan. Ethan is Mark's son. And we've been praying for you because I knew you're open now. And you know, I believe the Lord gave that word, is that it's your time to shine. The baton has been passed to you. Your dad has passed on. Amen. He's gone before you. It's your time to step up, brother. You got to lay it all down, though, for Jesus. Are you willing to do that? Give him the whole thing? Give him your whole life? You sure? Okay. Let's pray for Ethan. You can face this way towards me. Stretch out your hands for him, towards him right now. Yes. I want you just to speak to Jesus, all right? And I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. All right, if you just mean it from your heart, and God will answer that prayer. I believe it. And I want you to say it right out loud. I mean, because as you confess him, he's confessing you before heaven. Right now, your name will be written. I believe that. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross.
I believe you died on the cross.
For my sins.
For my sins.
And that I can't.
And that I can't.
Save myself.
Save myself.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I ask you to forgive me.
I ask you to forgive me
for all of my sins.
For all of my sins.
To wipe out.
To wipe out
all the iniquity.
All of the iniquity
and every transgression.
And every transgression.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus,
I ask you.
I ask you
to wash me.
To wash me
in your precious blood.
In your precious blood.
And fill me.
And fill me
with your Holy Spirit.
With your Holy Spirit.
And make me.
And make me
a child of yours.
A child of yours.
I give my life.
I give my life.
My heart.
My heart.
And my body.
And my body.
To you.
To you.
To serve you.
To serve you.
The rest of my days.
The rest of my days.
I ask you.
I ask you.
To give me the power.
To give me the power.
To do so.
To do so.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Shuratapakate shapaparama bakonda kurababababababababako. Fill him with the Holy Spirit, Lord. Fill him, Holy Spirit. Shora mama kito ko pa 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 kora mama katata. Listen, on the authority of the Word of God, it says if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you. Are you forgiven? Your sins are forgiven. Now hear me. Go and sin no more. Okay? You serve a new master now. All right? You need prayer backup, you call us. All right? We're here for you. All right, we want to help you through, but you got to get connected into the body, all right, into the church, all right, and every day be in the Word of God and be in prayer and hang out with people that are going to help you up, amen?
Amen.
I had to do that, man, because I had to come out of a certain element, you know, because it was kept dragging me back. But God has given you a new identity, all right? You're a child of God today, amen?
Amen.
All right, run the race, okay? All right. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for today. You've given us this day, Lord. You've given life and you've given breath to all of us. And Lord, we want to live our lives for you. We ask you for your grace, Lord, to do so. We ask, Lord, that you would watch over and protect every one of us. Keep a hedge of protection around us, Lord. Guard our hearts and our minds and deliver us from the evil one. Lead each one of us, Lord, in the way we should go. Lord, lead us in your paths of righteousness for your name's sake. That, Lord, in the day when we see you, we will have confidence, knowing that as you were in this world, so are we. Lord, give us each one the strength we need to overcome to the end. And we thank you for your grace, Lord. We rejoice in you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.